Board in the Micronesian Islands, in the back, in the foyer, we have a prayer card. And if you are not familiar with us and our ministry, please get one of our prayer cards and pray for us. Tonight, we're going to tell you quite a bit about what's going on in the islands there. It'll be a unique opportunity for you. We live in about an area of 4 square miles. Now, that's 2 miles by 2 miles. I hope you can fathom having 40 churches in 2 miles by 2 miles. Having how many schools? I would say a dozen schools, businesses, government, everything in 4 square miles. You say it's not possible. Come tonight. It is possible. You will see with your own eyes. And we count it an honor to serve the Lord there, and we hope that you will come and see more about the Micronesian Islands. In May, we came back. My wife had lost vision in her right eye. I'll tell you more about that. And so we came back. We hope to be here for about 3 months. And, of course, because of COVID, we are still not able to get back. They locked down the Micronesian Islands and the Federated States of Micronesia on March the 8th, 2020. And they have not allowed anybody back in except for some of their own citizens. So it's quite a process. The last update is about 3 days ago. As far as if you're a non-citizen resident like my wife and I, there are no plans for you at this time. So what they're doing is going door-to-door giving the COVID shot. And about 9,000 people of 30,000 have received that shot. Unfortunately, 3 people have died from the shot, and it scared most of the island. And so a lot of the islanders now won't take it. Their goal is to get 70% inoculated and then open the country back up. I don't know if they're going to be able to meet that goal, because I don't know if people will continue. They don't have to take it, but they're recommended highly to take it. So you see the predicament we're in, and I appreciate that. So Sandy's surgeries all ended around November. I'll tell you all about that through the message. But then when we were still home, I had some issues from building the churches out there and just wear and tear on your body. So they did some surgery on my foot and knee in November. I think it was the 18th. And I'm not 100%, but pretty close. We go on bike rides over 10 miles and walk 5Ks, and I'm able to do just about anything I could do before, and close to being 100% again. In fact, I can bend my leg better than I have been able to for 3 years, so it's a blessing to be able to have that. Well, during that time, they found out that I had too many red blood cells, and so they were trying to find out what was the culprit of that. To make all the testing real long and short, they found out I have sleep apnea. They claim I snore. Now, I cannot testify to that. I've never heard myself snore. But my wife of almost 40 years can testify that I do snore, and she tells me I snore. So we tried our best, and they get me a CPAP machine, and I put that thing on, and at first it's all right, but I don't know, about time you fall asleep, that thing goes into turbocharge. And I mean, it blows in almost like a turbocharger on a car, blowing out the sides of the mask and all kinds of stuff. So I am wrestling and fighting with my CPAP machine. I would appreciate prayer for that. This morning, if you have your Bibles, please turn to the book of Luke, chapter number 18. So we are both blessed with good health this morning, and we praise God for good health. Luke, chapter number 18. I want to bring a message from this portion of Scripture. I hope it'll be a blessing and an encouragement to you. Luke chapter number 18, if you're able, stand with me as I read the Word of God. Luke chapter 18, beginning with verses number 1. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. There was a widow in that city. She came unto him, saying, avenge me of my adversary. He would not for a while, but afterwards he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet, because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. Shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be at the Bible Baptist Church this morning. And Lord, we know, according to your word, where two or three are gathered together, you're right here in the midst. And we invite you into this service, not just to move through the pews, but into our hearts and do the work that we need into our hearts. And Lord, I don't know most of these people very well, and some I've met for the first time, but you know every need they have in their life. And I pray from heaven you would meet those needs in their life. Meet with us today. If one person here does not know you, or one person watching does not know you as Lord and Savior, oh, Holy Spirit of God, burden their heart for their need for Jesus Christ and the change in their life that would come as a result. We need you this morning. We invite you into this service. Use me for the honor and glory. In Jesus' name I ask and pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. As I mentioned earlier, on March the 8th, they closed the Marshall Islands to anybody coming in. We had air flights every single day. One was going to Honolulu, one was going to Guam. Sometimes we had two flights in a day. But when COVID-19 hit, it hit the Marshall Islands as well. Now, we have not had a single case out there, but they were afraid, watching everything they've seen on the news and media and all that. So they decided to lock down the country and prevent them from getting COVID-19. It has worked, and they do not have it and never has had it there. As the March hit, then that was the last flight we had, March the 8th, until April. And in April, there was one flight. And now the first part of May hits, and my wife says, Dave, I can't see out of my right eye. There's about 25% of my vision from my nose over. I just can't see out of it. And we're trying to figure out what's going on here. And there is a problem with cats in the islands. And we had a couple little cats that started getting friendly, and we fed them and kind of took them in. They stayed outside, but we were becoming friends with these two cats. Well, these cats can have a parasite that can cause you to go blind. So we had thought maybe she got a parasite from one of these cats, and that's what's going on. So we go to see the doctor, and he says, well, I don't think that's it, but this medicine will not hurt you at all. So he went ahead and prescribed the medicine, and she started taking that, and it didn't change. And so we right away went to see the eye doctor, and when we got to the hospital, the eye doctor was off island. He's from India, and because of COVID-19, he was stuck in India. So we had no eye doctor to help us out, but there was a nurse there, and that nurse started running some tests and saw the pressure in both of her eyes were good, and the pictures he took, he says, now, I can't see anything, but I can't run all this other equipment, and I'm not a qualified doctor, so I really don't know what to tell you why your wife can't see. Well, going to a hospital in a third world country is not a very encouraging thing to do. One of our ladies was short about 2 pints of blood. So they sent her to the hospital, and they were pumping in these 2 pints of blood when she had a terrible reaction to this blood. It turns out they were pumping in the wrong type of blood. It about killed her. And so they stopped that, and they did all the things they needed to do, and a couple days they started pumping 2 more pints of blood in. It was the wrong blood a second time. And so she just gave up on all hope and just went home. And by the grace of God, she recovered, and she's doing fine today. I remember when our car broke down in Majuro, and we lived about 8 miles from the church. And when the car broke down, I had a small motorcycle, a 125 Yamaha. And so we would get on the motorcycle, and that's how our transportation was, getting back and forth. Wednesday night came, it was a rainy day, which is about one of every other day in the Micronesian Islands. So we had put on some rain gear, and we go into church, and we get all ready for service and have our service. And when it's done, it's still raining out. So we put our rain gear back on, got about 1/4 mile from the church. And as we're going about 30 miles an hour, a dog came running through these bushes and just appeared. I mean, he was just there. And he hit our front tire and knocked us down, and we slid, it seemed like, for an eternity. And we finally got up, and I'm checking Sandy out. She's all skinned up in her palm of her hand, her knee, her foot. And I appeared to be just fine. Didn't have any pain, thought I was fine. So we got on the bike, and boy, that was quite a sell that I had to do for my wife. You got to get back on this bike so we can go home. Got her back on the bike, we go home, and when I took my trousers off on my hip, it was bulging out. And I said, "Now that doesn't look good." So we decided we'd call one of our church members. He picked us up and took us into the hospital, and I had a hematobin, is that hematoma? Whatever it is, that's what I had. And they said, "We want you to spend the night." And I said, "I really don't want to spend the night. Let me go home." "No, no, you have to spend the night." And so they were treating me with some medicine, cleaning up my wife's, all of her scrapes and cuts, and me as well. Did they put a stitch in me? I guess not. They should have, but they didn't. So anyways, by the morning, we hadn't slept a wink. I mean, cockroaches are running over your body. She's trying to knock them off. She's sitting in this camp chair all night, and I'm in this little gurney. And I said, "Sandy," I said, "I know there are two orthopedic surgeons from America on island. Now, go figure it. Here I have a need for an orthopedic advice, and God sends two of the doctors over to help us." They were there. So I said, "Sandy, go find these guys. I want to make sure they are treating me right." And so they found these fellas, and he looked in, and he says, "Yeah, you're bleeding internally. It's going to stop. We could put a tube in and drain it, but I think your body will absorb it. It'll take 4 or 5 weeks, but it'll happen." And I wasn't in any pain, so I'm fine. "Okay, can I go home? We really just want to go home." And he said, "Let me check your chart, and then we'll let you go home." So he checks our chart, and he finds out that they're giving me an aspirin-based painkiller, which causes bleeding. And I'm bleeding already as it is. And so he said, "This isn't good." So he stops that, and we get home. So going to the hospital, let me tell you, is not an exciting thing, and you question everything that happens. But we went to the hospital, and we got some help, the best they could do. And you know, I've always been, we have been married almost 40 years. We're best friends. I mean, we just do everything together, and I just praise God for my wife, and she has to put up with me, whatever. But we just have a good life together. We praise God for that. But I'd do anything for my wife. I really would. You know, she needs the car fixed. I can probably fix the car. She needs something in the house repaired. I can probably do that. But I'm sorry, that's out of my league. There wasn't anything I can do. And there wasn't a doctor on island that could help either. So we contacted some doctors that she had in the past, and also that doctor in India. And he gave us an idea. It might be macular degeneration. But he said, "You need to get back to the States as soon as possible." So I got on United.com and looked for a flight, and there was no flight coming in the month of May. The next flight was June the 17th. And I said, "Lord, this isn't going to do. Man, we got to get her into the hospital." By now, her vision has been 25%. It's now 3/4. She can't see in that eye at all. We can see it's continually getting worse, but no way to get some help. So when I called United, they said there's no flight. I called our embassy. "No, we have no knowledge. June the 17th, what you're seeing is the only thing we see." And I, "Okay, Lord, well, here we are on this 4-mile island, and we've got a need, and only you're going to be able to come in and help because there's nothing out there." And so we just trusted the Lord. And the next day, my daughter called me and said, "Dad, I got an email from the embassy in Pohnpei, and that's the next country over. And they said there's a flight coming through on May the 20th. And I said, "Well, Rachel, it must not be stopping here, because I just talked with all these people and they said there is no such flight. Dad, I'm just telling you what they said." And had she not called, I would have pursued this no further. And we would have waited until June the 17th, and she would have lost her eye forever if that would have been the case. But I went ahead and pursued it, and I called our local office, and they said, "Yes, we are working on a flight, but there's a lot of problems." She said, "When the flight came in April, United's plane broke down on the tarmac there in Majuro." And I don't know what your mind is thinking of an airport, but we have one gate and one terminal, and we have one landing strip. That's what we have. So it broke down there, and the government of the Marshall Islands would not let anybody get off the plane. So they had to wait on that plane for 10 hours until another flight came out of Guam to pick them up and carry them on. And so now, in May, United's saying, look, we're not going to do that again. You're going to have a better plan. So from May the 14th through May the 19th, they're going back and forth how they're going to deal with the problem, and they finally came to a solution. When I got a hold of them on that flight, they said the flight is absolutely booked. There is many, many, many people on standby, but I can put you at the end of the list. That's the best I can do. And I said, I understand. So put me on the list. You got to do something. And so I called United back again on united.com and talked with them, and they said, look, considering your problem, we're going to get you a reservation. And I mean, people have been waiting 5 weeks to get on this flight. And they put us right in and got us a reservation, and we're ready to go on this plane. So by May the 19th, we find out that the flight is coming the next day. So we go to the airport. We're waiting there for the flight to come. We see all these people waiting on standby. We're praising God. We're going to get on this plane and get out of here. And when we saw some of the United people talking, I said, Sandy, something doesn't look right. And so I went over and talked with them, and they said, the flight is broke down in Kushai, where my son's at. And it's not coming today. And here we had all of our connecting flights set up. We had an appointment with Cleveland Clinic set up for the very next day. Everything was just lined up. And I don't know if you remember back in May of 2000, but the airline industry kind of came to a halt. There was not a lot of flights going on. So I didn't know how this was going to work if we had to make changes. And so once again, we just trusted the Lord. The next door, we woke up and got a call early in the morning, and they said, Dave, you and your wife come down early. We have an early flight coming in. We believe we can get you on that flight that you originally was planned. We can meet it up in Honolulu. And so if you get down here right away, we can get you there on time. You will make all your other connections. You'll be in Cleveland just like we promised before. Well, I'll tell you what, that is amazing to me, because it usually takes about 2 days to get from Micronesia, where I live, to where my daughter lives. About 2 days when you have all the layovers and all that mess. But I'm telling you, we would have had to sit 20 hours in the airport at Honolulu waiting for the next flight. And God's just so good. Man, we got to Honolulu and we got off the plane. They rushed us through customs, and the other plane was waiting for us. And we got on that plane and off we went. It was just absolutely amazing. When God says that He will avenge them speedily, I want to tell you, He did. That is once in our lifetime that we got through that quick. Probably never see it again. But God came through in our time of need. So we were just kind of waiting through those 5 days. Lord, what's going on here? What should we expect? And so scriptures are coming to mind. I'm thinking about Job 1:21, when Job said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked I shall return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I said, Lord, if somehow we can bless your name through Sandy losing her sight, then blessed be the name of the Lord. She enjoyed good sight for all those years, and now she doesn't have any. We're not going to get mad at you. We're not going to get angry. We're just going to bless the name of the Lord. And then I started thinking about Apostle Paul. And he had that infirmity, and he asked the Lord 3 times to remove that from him. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 8 and 9, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So look, if Paul goes to the Lord, and Paul, the great apostle that he was, and the Lord said, no, you're a better man with this infirmity than you are without it. You will keep that. Then who am I to ask the Lord more than 3 times to help my wife? I really don't know how to pray in this situation. I want the will of God, of course. It's always the best. But I also want my wife to be able to see. Then I thought about our Lord. 3 times He went in the Garden of Gethsemane. Asked the Lord to remove this cup from Him. The Father said no. So, through this verse of Scripture in Luke, God really touched my heart. And in verse number 1, He says, and He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. that morning, God says, I know you can't see the future. I know you, as far as you know, there is no flight. And I know your wife can't see, but I want you to know, I want you to keep praying. Keep praying and faint not. And I committed to praying unto the Lord twice a day for that one specific thing. Day and night, day and night. I came to the Lord and I prayed and I asked. And we made that flight, which was absolutely amazing. And then when God showed me this in my daily reading that day, then I started thinking, what about the blind man in the Bible? The blind man of John chapter number 9 and verse 2 and 3, when the disciples asked Jesus, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Listen, both Sandy and I realized from that day, somehow, some way, God was going to get honor and glory through this, and we didn't know how it would turn out. Now this man, he received his sight, and Jesus received the glory. And so we started seeing our church there in Majuro, the Ryrig Baptist Church, and we started seeing their faith being increased. See, they knew that the chances of us getting on this plane were very slim, that there would even be a flight that month. They knew that. But they saw God make possible the impossible. And that flight did come, and we got on and we left. So before we even left the island of Majuro, we saw that Jesus was getting honor and glory from it. And we were just praising Him already. In our text here, we see verses number 2, saying there was in a city a judge which feared not God nor regarded man. You know, that's not the kind of judge you want to come up against. Doesn't fear God and does not regard man. You know, our Creator has instituted some things. One, He instituted marriage. If you want to have a good marriage, you can read all the books in the world that you want. But the one book that 'll tell you about marriage is the author of marriage, and that's our God. He's the one that created marriage. If you want to see how to have a successful marriage, you get into the Scriptures and you find, husbands, what a man ought to be in the home. And you dedicate yourself to be that man. And if your wife does the same thing, I'm telling you what, you're going to have a God-fearing, God-blessed home. You'll have a marriage better than you could even imagine. Listen, God created marriage. He knows how it works. We need to go back to His Word to find that. God also instituted the church. Listen, your pastor started this church 30 years ago. What a blessing. He didn't take some thoughts out of the air. He didn't go door to door asking what a church ought to be. He went to the Scriptures. And He says, what does God say a church ought to be? God created the church. Jesus Christ died for the church. It's a very special, unique opportunity. And God knows how a church ought to be. And so your pastor's taken the Word of God and formed the Bible Baptist Church. And that's what we have here today. But God also, as your pastor was mentioned, for your Wednesday night studies, He instituted government. And one of the things of government, the government sets up judges. If you have your Bibles, turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 19. If a country wants a successful government, they also need to go to the Word of God and find out what a government ought to be and what a government should do and what a government should not do. But one of the things a government needs is righteous judges. And Jehoshaphat is setting up some judges in Judah. And notice what he tells these men. 2 Chronicles chapter 19, beginning with verses 6 and 7. And said unto the judges, take heed what ye do, for ye judge not for man. That's his advice to these judges. You're not judging for man, but for the Lord, who is with you in the judgment. Wherefore, now let the fear of the Lord be upon you, and take and do it. And there is no iniquity with the Lord our God, nor respect of persons, nor taking of gifts. Jehoshaphat said, listen, if you're going to be a judge, then you need to think about God Himself and make a judgment as if God was there making the judgment. He said, with God there's no iniquity. God doesn't have respect of persons. That's not going to sway His decision. And no accepting of gifts, because that sways people's opinions. And so he says, if you're going to be a good judge, this is the kind of things that you need to be a good judge. Here in our story, we find this man, He didn't fear God at all. And he neither regarded man. He could care less that this woman had a great need. That didn't bother him a bit. He could care less. One of the greatest things America ever did was 245 years ago come with the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, with some documents that are very inspired by the things of the Word of God. And it had changed our nation. Our country is so unique in the way it was founded. Nobody can deny that. Now, they try today, but I'm telling you, look at the history, the real history. We have a great country based on the promises and the truths of the Word of God. And this country has succeeded for all these years because of that. Compared to any other country in the world, there's nothing like it. Because God was to be the one and the foundation of this new country. But when judges dismiss the fear of God, when judges don't care about what's best for mankind, and when they make judgments for their own personal gains, we have a problem. And we've seen that in our country, more so this whole last year than I've seen in my entire life. I'll tell you what, I got absolutely angry being back here, seeing some of the decisions that our Supreme Court was making. They voted twice against the church in this last summer, when the church simply wanted the same rights as what a gambling casino would have. Let us just meet together. Allow us that opportunity in California that we can meet just with the same rules as what you're giving to the casinos. But they were told no. How sad to see the Supreme Court go against the church. And we see some things that are falling as a result of these bad decisions. Listen, it just didn't happen this year. It's been going on for quite some time. In fact, about 100 years ago, humanism is introduced into the United States. And it's found its way into government. It's found its way into our educational system. And boy, that has just overwhelmed the United States. You see, creating our country based on the truths of the Word of God, Satan did not like that. And the Bible refers to Satan, James does, as a devil, as a roaring lion seeking who he may devour. Boy, he's been looking at ways to bring our country down, and I'm telling you, it didn't start this year. It started 100 years ago. By 1962, some of the worst decisions of America were made. They removed prayer out of public school. That bad decision brings another bad decision. 11 years later, based off a court case that the lady admitted later she absolutely lied about, abortion is now legal in America. The right to murder an innocent baby absolutely blows my mind why that decision was ever made. Now, all those years later, 62 million babies have been aborted. I'm telling you what, probably those who had the ability to find a cure for cancer or change the world for the gospel of Jesus Christ who have been in those wombs. It's a sad thing to think about what had taken place. Now those bad decisions fill our universities, and now we see them all through our judges. It's sad to see where the country has come. I've heard since I've been home the call to end the Constitution, the one document that has given us success over 245 years. Listen, believe it or not, America has changed. And I don't think it'll ever be the same again. They replaced decades of good things from the Word of God with evil things from the world. You do that long enough, and there's very understandable why we are where we are today. I said in Sunday school that 50% of the young people claim to be atheistic or agnostic. They don't even believe there is a God. How sad that is for a testimony of the United States of America. What a blessing to see your choir sing today. Do you know what? Kind of COVID kind of knocked out all the special music. Knocked out going door-to-door visitation. And now those things are starting to open back up. Praise God for that. But I love to see the choir this morning. Good job, choir. I miss that. We had to shut down our church in Findlay for a few weeks because we had a breakout and most of the people got COVID in our church. Pastor had COVID. He's in the hospital with it. Couldn't breathe. So after a few weeks, we're watching this thing online, and I'm saying, no, we're going back to church. It's not the same. Let me tell you, it's a wonderful thing that we can watch online, but it's not the same as being here. And boy, we got back into church, and we were so thankful we could be back with other believers. And it was just the pastor, his family, my wife and I, and the sound booth people. That was all that was there. But soon it all regained, and we miss that. Listen, things have changed in America. We might have different boundaries that we can work with under. But I'm telling you, our commission from God hasn't changed. And we need to continue to preach the gospel to every creature until the trumpet sounds. God's going to give us opportunities. He's given us a brain. We can be creative on how we get things done. This poor widow, she had some problems. If you notice through this story, she was absolutely helpless. There wasn't anything she could do. I mean, she had a problem. There was a man who could make this problem right, make this problem go away. But he didn't care anything about God. He didn't care anything about her. Maybe if she had some silver or gold and put it in his pocket, that he would have gave her a judgment. But I don't think this widow had anything. But she did have one thing. She had determination. She said, even though I'm helpless and I can't make this situation right, that judge can make this situation right. And she determined that she would continue to go back to that judge until that judge made a decision. And I'm telling you what, that lady was relentless. I don't know how many times in a day that she came knocking on that guy's door, hey, I need you to hear my case. And I don't know if he sent people to send her away, but finally he realized, you know what? This lady's going to keep coming. The smartest thing I can do is just give her a judgment. Take a look at verse 3. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of my adversary. But he would not for a while. But afterwards he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest her continual coming weary me. I mean, she kept coming. He knew it. He could probably look at his watch and say, okay, that lady's coming. I'm going to have to make a decision here. And finally, this guy who could care less about God, who could care less about people, makes a judgment. And this woman is made, her adversary is taken care of. And what a blessing. She finally sees justice served. But notice what the Bible says in verse 6. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect with cry unto him day and night, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily, speedily. God says, you know what? There is a judge. He doesn't care about God. He doesn't care about people. And there's kind of a comparison between this judge and the Heavenly Father. Now, I don't know about you, but there's no comparison between an ungodly judge and our Heavenly Father. Absolutely no comparison. But a comparison here is made. And the comparison is simply this. If a guy who did not fear God and did not care about people would finally make a right decision, how much more will a God who loves His people, who died for His people, provide the things that they have need of? I'm telling you what, God hears our request. And God heard our request over in Micronesia. Sandy was absolutely helpless. There wasn't anything that she could do. One thing I noticed being home is getting the wrong focus. It's easy to do. As you look at a parable, there's usually one main thing that God's trying to show us through that parable. And this is a parable here. And if we look at the people in this parable, who is the focus? Who is it about? Is it about this unjust judge? I'm going to tell you this morning, it's not about the unjust judge. However, if we're not careful and we see the bad decisions coming out of Washington, D.C., and all of our time and all of our energy and all of our focus is based on that, we've got ourselves out of focus. We're focusing on the wrong things. This parable is not about the unjust judge. We have a widow in this parable. Is it about the widow? She had a need. I want to tell you this morning, it's not about that widow. We're sitting in an island about 4 square miles. There is no doctor that could help us. For a week, there was no airplane that could get us off. And we had a real need, but the focus was not on my wife or her eye. The focus was on verse number 1, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. What God was showing us there is, Dave, no matter what in life, I'm the one you need to look to. I'm the one you need to come to. And if you'll come day and night, speedily, speedily I will avenge them. Now maybe you're here this morning and you don't have an eye problem. That's wonderful. I'm glad you don't. But I know you have problems. Maybe this morning, your problem is a heart issue. Maybe inside, there's never been a time or a place where you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You have a need inside so great that it makes eye problems seem like nothing. Your need is Jesus Christ. He is the one who died for you. He is the one who shed His blood. And it's only by the blood of Jesus Christ that we can have remission of sin. Would you come to Him today? Would you admit your sin to Jesus Christ? Would you ask Him to take His precious blood and cleanse you from every sin? If you'll ask Him, I guarantee you He will speedily come and meet that need you have today. Maybe you're here and you are a Christian, but you have another need. Listen, let me encourage you this morning. Don't quit praying. Don't lose faith. Faint not. Stay with the course. See what God will do. In May, I had no idea what God would do. We got on that flight. We make it to Honolulu. We land in Cleveland. The next day, we go see the surgeon that's going to do work on my wife's eye. It was actually a couple days later. She had to see another doctor first. The surgeon looked at Sandy and said, "Ma'am, your retina is torn, and it's been torn, and it's been separated for 20 days. She said, "I'll be honest with you, I don't know if there's anything I can do. Now, we're going to go in there, we're going to do our best, but I want to tell you, if you would have got to me day number 1, we could have saved your eye. Now, I have no idea, but we'll do our best." So here's my wife. During COVID, I'm out in the car because they won't let me come in with her. The doctor just tells her, "We're going to have surgery, but you have very, very slim chance of ever having any good come out of this surgery." And that's how she enters surgery. So she goes and has that surgery, and the doctor was done, and she said, "Well, the best as could be, it's done, and your eye's there, but only time will tell." So this lady who did her surgery was probably 7 months pregnant at the time. And Sandy saw doctors from May all the way through November. And during that time, this lady checked out because she had that baby, and she was missing about 3 months. Well, they looked into Sandy's other eye, and they found out that she had retina that was tearing in that eye as well. There were 3 holes in that retina. And so they said, "We want to take a laser, and we want to go in there, we want to zap that thing." And they gave her about 100 shots of this laser and reattached that eye. And the doctor said, "It looks like it's done a good job. So we think your left eye is going to be good." Still no news on her right eye. He said, "What we're going to do is we're going to remove your cataracts. Whenever you mess with your eyes, and if you have small cataracts, they go bad really fast. And that's why she couldn't see." And so they said, "We'll remove those cataracts and we'll put 2 new lenses in." And the doctor looked at her and said, "Sandy, I believe we can get you 2100 vision out of your right eye." That was the eye that the retina separated. And we thought, man, that's pretty good. I mean, not being able to see to at least being able to have some sight, that's a pretty good thing. 20/100 vision is people who see well at 100 feet, she would be able to see at 20 feet. That's what 20/100 vision means. And so we were pretty excited about that. But all through this time, I'm praying day and night, "Lord, my wife has a need. And I'm asking you to give her sight back, but thy will be done no matter what. We're going to praise you no matter what the outcome comes." So those surgeries took place, and when she went back, that doctor said, "Sandy, I'm sorry, we weren't able to give you 20/100 vision in that eye. We gave you 20/30 vision in that eye. 20/20 in one eye, 20/30 in the other eye." My wife has been wearing eyeglasses since she's been 10 years old. She doesn't need eyeglasses except for reading. That was something they could not do. But the doctors were absolutely amazed that she could see, especially that good. So a month later, she goes back for her last appointment, and that was the original surgeon. And that surgeon said, "Will you look at you, Sandy?" She said, "I can't believe it. When you came in for surgery, I really didn't think we were going to be able to do anything." And Sandy says, "I know you were limited on what you had to work with, but my God is able, and look what He did." And I want to tell you, the doctor admitted she couldn't do it. It wasn't her that gave her sight back. But we know it was God that gave her sight back. Why? Because day and night, prayed and asked God, didn't lose faith, and said, "Lord, we need help here. We don't have an airplane flight. He provides an airplane flight. It gets canceled. He gets us back quicker than He ever has before in His life. She has bad eyesight as it is. God gives her better eyesight than she's had since she's been 10 years old. I want to tell you, that's the kind of God that we serve. And no matter what, His will needs to be done in our lives. And I don't know what you're going through, but whatever it is, don't lose faith. Just keep believing and see what God will do. Three things that come to mind when we were on the island was what got us through this. What made the difference? First of all, it was prayer. Prayer made the difference. But it was the Word of God that spoke to my heart and said, "Don't quit praying. Don't you stop at three times. You keep praying. Don't lose faith. And I will speedily help you." And I'm telling you, God exactly did that. But then the second thing was the ability for us to come to the throne of God. I'm not worthy to go to the throne of God. My wife's not worthy to go to the throne of God. That's a holy, holy place. Only Christ is worthy. But through Christ, we're able to go to the throne of God and get help in our time of need. And then the Holy Spirit of God, as I did not know how to pray, He knew what to pray. Take a look here and we'll close with this. Romans chapter number 8, verse 26. Romans chapter number 8, verse number 26. "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmity, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. He that searcheth the heart knoweth what the mind of the Spirit, because He make intercession for the saints according to the will of God. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose." Listen, you may not have a torn retina, but I know you have needs today. And I know the same God that made a difference in our life will make a difference in your life. Maybe you have a great financial need this morning. I don't know. Maybe you have a health need this morning. Maybe you have relationship needs in this morning. Whatever the case, whatever the need, I guarantee you come to Him and you commit it to prayer unto Him. Night and day, and don't quit, God's will be done. It may not be the outcome that you want, but it'll be the outcome that God wants. And God's will is better than our will. If we trust Him, what a difference it'll make. Most importantly, if you're here this morning, and there's never been a time or a place where you accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, oh, this God who wants to help you, He wants to become your God. But you got to ask Him. "Ask and ye shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you." Your greatest need could be met this morning swiftly if you'll come to Christ. I don't know what need you have, but I know you have needs. We all do. May we take it to Him. Father, we thank You for this opportunity to tell this church what You did for us in our time of need. There was no flight. I knew that. Would have never even looked for it if it wasn't for that email to my daughter. And then, Lord, You provided a flight, got us back quicker than ever, got us into the doctor, and You gave her sight back, better than she's had since she'd been 10. That's the kind of God You are. You love Your children. You want to do for them. Lord, whatever our need is this morning, may we have the courage to not quit praying and not lose faith. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.